News Talk 1450 KFIZ. Welcome back in on a Friday as hour number two of Fond du Lac Today continues from the AirTech Heating Studios here this morning. And, of course, second segment on Friday is devoted to talking with the Fond du Lac County Sheriff's Office. We're joined on this morning's program by Lieutenant Chris Randall, and he's going to talk to us about cold case investigations. Kind of a broad topic, but going to speak about kind of what they are, what causes a case to become cold. And, in fact, you might have seen some information being put out by the Sheriff's Office about a cold case here recently. We'll talk more about that information and what entails a cold case and things like that here this morning with Lieutenant Randall. But Chris, good morning. How are you today?
Doing well. Good morning. TGIF, huh?
Absolutely. TGIF. It's the first Friday in March, and the weather's been pretty great. So I think we're all in good spirits right now, aren't we?
Sun has been very welcomed, I'll tell you that.
That's true, and we're hoping for a better March. I said this to someone the other day, hoping for a better March than we had a year ago, so I think we're on the right track so far. So,
yes, please.
So let's talk about cold case investigations, and you and I were talking off the air a little bit. Folks out there probably have seen the different TV shows that are out there, whether it be on A&E or Discovery Channel, or I think, you know, Lifetime probably has some stuff out there, you know, about cold cases. And, you know, they probably sit down to watch the show, they get engrossed by it because it's really kind of interesting stuff, but they might not necessarily know what goes into a cold case or why it's considered a cold case. So I figured to start the conversation, we'll talk a little bit about the basics of cold cases. So why don't we start? What exactly is a cold case, and how does a case become a cold case?
Sure. I don't think there's any sort of, you know, dictionary definition of what a cold case is, but, you know, for us in the law enforcement world, it's, you know, typically very higher profile type cases. Mm-hmm. You know, crimes against persons type cases that are, you know, very sensitive in nature and, you know, often revolve around unfortunate cases such as missing persons cases or homicide cases. And, you know, you talked about, you know, how does a case become cold? And typically that usually just kind of one thing is that's running out of leads. Certain things change over time that have allowed us to, I guess, reevaluate cold cases. Technology over the last decade, as you could say actually two decades, but in recent times just kind of ballooned and grown exponentially. And it's given us things that we can do to start working these cold cases again, because they're producing leads for us to, you know, to work. So that's kind of the exciting thing with cold cases, is that we get to start working on some of these, you know, higher profile cases where families want answers. And technology has definitely helped us do that.
Obviously, when there's a case, like you mentioned, a homicide case or a missing persons case, the goal and the hope is that it gets solved and the person is found, or the suspect is brought to justice, suspect or suspects are brought to justice. But that's, unfortunately, not always the case, right? So that's, you know, as you said, that's where things like this happen and cases become cold, because if, you know, you think you have a lead, and we've all seen it going back to those TV shows. People out there probably watch.
Right.
You know, if they run out of leads, you know, they think they have the person of interest, and they think it's the person, but they find out it's not, and they don't have anywhere else to turn to. That that could be a big hindrance toward bringing a suspect to justice or finding a missing person, right?
Absolutely, and you know, for us as law enforcement, that's, you know, very frustrating because it's kind of. In our body, we want to help people. You know, it's in our minds. It's kind of who we are. And it gets frustrating when we're not able to, you know, advance on these cases and help the families cope with, you know, a tragic experience. But we keep trying and we keep going.
When you talk about running out of leads, that's why, and people hear us say it when we talk about something with the sheriff's office, or the sheriff's office will put out a press release about an investigation, and they'll say, if you have any tips, contact the sheriff's office or the crime alert number or Crime Stoppers or whatever it may be, depending on where you live. That's a big reason why that's always put into a news update or a press release from an agency like the sheriff's office, because they don't want those
those leads to dry up. And I think a lot more people, and I'll ask you the question, are now wanting to help out and wanting to submit those tips make sure that the smallest of instances or incidents get solved, right? That's fair to say?
Absolutely. I mean, you nailed it on the head. And what we try to really express is that no matter how small or trivial somebody might think their piece of information is, it's just important to share it because it may be something that develops into another bigger piece and another bigger piece. And then who knows, something so small, and I've had it in other sorts of investigations, where something small turns into something big and it ends up solving the case. So we really just want, the community to understand that, hey, give us a call. We're not judging. We'll take whatever you got, because it may be, that tiny little key that puts us in a good position to move forward.
Even if it's, you saw a guy with a red hat walking by, or there's something that doesn't even lead to the ultimate arrest of a suspect or finding of a missing person or whatever it may be. Like you said, that small tip can help out, even if it doesn't lead in what the ultimate goal is of mm-hmm. the investigation, right?
Yeah, I mean, it could be a person wearing a red hat, and mm-hmm. let's say we look into that, we don't find much, maybe we release that to the community, and somebody else is like, well, I saw somebody wearing a red hat at, this restaurant, 20 minutes before somebody else saw that person in a red hat. Okay, so maybe they have surveillance video. Maybe mm-hmm. we can run that lead, but it takes members of the community to be able to share that information with.
When it comes to cold cases, and we'll talk about one that I know the sheriff's office has been sharing some information about on Facebook over the last few weeks or so. When it comes to cold cases in the county, do we have quite a few? I'm not sure how much you could tell us about that, but do we have usually quite a few that are being looked into still? What's the, ballpark number?
I would, a handful, without getting into too many specifics on some of the cases here. But we have a handful, and I think we're probably, on the lower end of, some of the bigger jurisdictions out there, thankfully. Especially with missing persons cases, I mean, you start to look at some of the numbers associated with missing persons cases, and the numbers are staggering, very depressing to know that it's so prevalent. We have a handful of cases that we're constantly working and, running leads down and seeing what new technology can, what surfaces up and things that we can use to move forward.
Yeah, you talk about that technology. Before we get into the case I wanted to talk about that was on social media, that it's probably a night and day difference compared to even, 10, 15, 20 years ago, comparing the two eras of law enforcement and investigation. It's probably a night and day difference as to what can be done. And that, as you mentioned before, Chris, with the new technology out there, it's starting to allow for more of these cases that you might see sit on the shelf for quite a long time, them to start being reopened and more work being done into those investigations, right?
Oh, you nailed it on the head. What was required to do DNA testing 10 years ago is dramatically changed to what it is now. So that's refreshing, and it gives us a lot more possibilities to to solve these cases. Not every case has DNA, and unfortunately, like on TV, it seems like a lot of these cases, have DNA. We don't always have physical evidence that is going to point us in the right direction. So we definitely have to rely on members of the community to help us. But technology has definitely helped law enforcement and us, move forward on a lot of cases.
Speaking of technology, obviously you mentioned social media. That's a big place where you can share information with the public and people can comment and say, hey, this is something I know, or they can find out a phone number to call. And I mentioned the sheriff's office posting on Facebook some information about James Ruland, a missing person from the area. Can you kind of break down this case? Just give us kind of the basic details of what happened with this, and why is the sheriff's office now resharing the information about this to raise awareness about it?
So, Mr. Mr. Ruland was last seen in October of 1995. The Detective Bureau and the Sheriff's Office and their teams did an extensive investigation into that case back in 1995. Basically, turning up stones, digging in manure pits, a tremendous amount of work. Hard work and difficult work was done back in 1995 and in the next few years after that. Unfortunately, no leads were ever developed, and as to the whereabouts of Mr. Ruland. So, an important part of this is being, objective. Do some people sometimes say, I'm done with my life here, I'm moving elsewhere. It happens. We don't have anything necessarily to indicate that that is what happened, but we have to be objective in moving forward. So we continue to evaluate, things like that. And, technology, as like we discussed earlier, has increased. So there are certain things that we have been, testing and whatnot to see if it's going to lead us in any sort of direction. And also part of, kind of rejuvenating this case a little bit is the FBI and their VICAP program reviewed our case. Detective Nate Lamont did a really good job putting the case to presentation together for the FBI to review. And as a part of that case, in that process, was the developing of a FBI alert. It's a missing persons alert that's on their public website. And this this mechanism, just like you discussed with social media, now allows us to share information in a massive way that we didn't have back in 1995 or 1996 or 7. So we are able to reach, hundreds upon hundreds of law enforcement agencies, as well as, just members of the community, and show them that we're working on this yet. And if, poke somebody to call us and let us know, hey, I saw this or I saw that. And we really look forward to and appreciate the tips that come in. And been a busy journey. It's stressful because, you don't get leads that pop in every day or every other day. And, we get frustrated because things don't move as fast. And, we ultimately want to help the family and we want to bring justice if, that's the type of case we have. But we stay positive and we keep moving, and we just remember we're working for the families, and that motivates them.
If people out there listening to this have a tip on the Ruland case or maybe another cold case that they're aware of that we haven't spoken about today, what's the best way they should get their info to the sheriff's office then?
We have an anonymous tip line at 920-906-4777, and otherwise they can contact Detective Lamont directly at 920-929-3377.
Very good. Lieutenant Chris Randall, thanks for your time today talking about cold case investigations. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.